If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'd love to give out Bibles here. All right. We're going to see why it's important tonight in our text to have Bibles in the church and to go through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. And we see it many places in Scripture, and it's going to be, again, we're going to see it here tonight, how important God is, God's Word is in His church. Okay, we've opened our Bibles. What's the next step? Open our hearts. You can sit here with an open Bible and a closed heart. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts tonight. So may our hearts be open. May we get out the rocks and the weeds and anything that would hinder our receiving your word and bearing much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so tonight, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what you have for us in your precious word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And we thank you, Lord. Old Testament and New are so important. And even as we'll see tonight in our text, it is amazing how things from 3, 4, 5,000 years ago are pertinent today with what we see in our own nation. And so, Lord, you be the teacher. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight through your word. We love you, praise you, and thank you for the words of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Kings 22. How often do we hear the term going from bad to worse? It seems we hear it almost every day anymore. Oftentimes people complain about what's going on in our nation. I'll say, you think it's bad today? Just wait till tomorrow. And 99.9% of the time, it's true. Such was the case last week in chapter 21, where we saw Manasseh, who was one of Judah's most wicked kings, how he, when he became king of Judah, he rebuilt and raised up and remade all of the idolatrous things that Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. And how sad it is. Oftentimes we hear the term like father, like son, but that's not always the case. Oftentimes children can be rebellious. They can be raised in Christian homes. And that doesn't mean you're saved by being raised in a Christian home. Every single one of us, and I, you know, growing up, or my kids growing up, and dad being a pastor, they knew that they weren't in because dad was a pastor. They needed to have their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's so important. They were practicing soothsaying, witchcraft, and they were consulting spiritists and mediums, doing much evil in the sight of the Lord. That kind of sounds like we're hearing the local news. That's what's going on in America today. Soothsaying, witchcraft, consulting evil spirits and mediums, and doing much evil in the sight of the Lord. Do you know everything is in the sight of the Lord? He sees it all. He doesn't miss a thing. Manasseh had literally, Scripture told us last week, he had literally seduced the Israelites to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before them. They were more wicked than the pagan and heathen nations. How sad. And again, look at our nation today. On our currency, it says one nation under God. But you look at what's going on in our nation, the laws that we're passing, and many times we're turning God's law around and we're calling good evil and evil good, and we still think we're a Christian nation today. Yes, there's a remnant. And I think the remnant here in America is, just my own personal opinion, keeping the hammer from coming down on this nation, but it won't be long, as we saw when we went through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And yes, when Manasseh died, things went from bad to worse, and his son Amon became king in his place. He continued on in his father's sandal steps, if you would, walking in all the ways of his father, serving and worshiping idols. An idol is anything that would take the place of the Lord on the throne of your heart. Then look at the idolatry again that's going on in our country today. Also forsaking the Lord. And they did not walk in the ways of the Lord. He continued on. Ammon's reign was short. He reigned only 2 years. And he was killed by his own servants. They took him out. And so this evening, in chapter 22, we have a new king, the son of Ammon, who does not walk in his father's footsteps. Things do not go from bad to worse. They actually go from worse to wonderful. As I've mentioned before, out of the 40 kings that we find that reigned in Israel, only 4 of them were good. That's crazy. They actually go from worse to wonderful. They'll go from bad to good. It's almost kind of a breath of fresh air, isn't it, on Wednesday nights? All the kings that we've seen that have done evil in the sight of the Lord, evil in the sight of the Lord. I was telling somebody tonight, I look at my Bible, all the evil is in red, and it's almost looked like the red pages instead of God's word. It's amazing what people get caught up in. And as we're going to see tonight, it's because God's word is not being preached in many churches today. God's word has not taken root in people's hearts today. And how sad it is that we are getting ready to reap what we have sown. And so tonight, Ammon's son, whose name is Josiah, we're going to see here in our first 2 verses. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 tonight. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Yedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boskath. And he did, well, look at this, what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Wow. Like a breath of fresh air, isn't it? Josiah is going to reign for 31 years in Jerusalem. Josiah's reign will be the last era of reform in Judah. How sad. As we see in verses, we will see in verses 3 to 7, in the 18th year of his reign, when he was 26, he begins a program for the repair and restoration of the house of the Lord. What a sad testimony for Israel, for Judah, for Jerusalem, that the house of the Lord was in shambles. Let's look at verses 3 to 7. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them divide it into the hand, or excuse me, deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stones to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hands, because they deal faithfully. Wow. And so Josiah sends Shaphan, the scribe, to Hilkiah, the high priest, that Hilkiah would count the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. They were still tithing. And so they brought the money into the house of the Lord and delivered it to the laborers with no accountability. Isn't that great that you can have a group of laborers and you can give them funds from the church and they're accountable before the Lord? He trusted them, knowing that they did business faithfully. Oh, how we need faithful businessmen and women today, faithful laborers. This is so cool. Watch this, verses 8 to 13. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king's word, saying, Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Wow. And now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all. How much is all? To do according to all that is written concerning us. Wow. Isn't this amazing? While they're working, while they're doing repairs in the house of the Lord, they just happen to find the book of the law in the house of the Lord. They had turned their back on God. They were in such a backslidden condition, they didn't even know where the book of the Lord was. We find that when we get to the book of Nehemiah, don't we? You remember what happened in the book of Nehemiah? The children of Israel were captured in Babylon, and finally when they were released, they went back to Jerusalem, and the temple was in shambles. And they begin to dig through the rubble, and guess what they found? The book of the law of the Lord. And you know what happened? Ezra, the priest, came out before the people, and the people stood before Ezra the priest. The Bible says that he opened up the book of the Lord and read it, and the people began to weep. They began to weep over the word of the Lord. When's the last time you've seen people weep over God's word? Tear their clothes. Repent. You know? Hilkiah found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Surprise. How much of the Torah or Pentateuch was found? We're not told. I believe, my own personal opinion, I personally believe that it was all five books. We'll see further on evidence of that. But Hilkiah the high priest gives it to Shaphan to read, and Shaphan brings it to Josiah the king. He brings the king the word. Oh, how we need this today. We need the word of God in America like never before. We really, really do. We need less social programs, less entertainment today. People need to get serious about God's word. Shaphan said to Josiah, Hilkiah has given me a book, and he reads it to the king. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if all of the leaders in our nation in high places would read God's word and take it to heart? That's what we need. We don't need more money. You know, they're all talking about all these, oh, global warming is coming. I believe that, but not like they're talking about. We just finished the revelation of Jesus Christ, folks. The global warming is coming, but praise be to God, we're not going to be here. But Hilkiah, or Shaphan, read the book to the king. When Josiah heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. For the Jews, that's a sign of repentance, renting their clothes. And he commands the high priest, the scribe, and the servants to inquire of the Lord for him, because he knew from what he heard in the book of the law of the Lord that great is the wrath of God. There's a lot of the wrath of God in this incredible book called the Bible, all 66 books. How sad it is that there are some people that are taught in some denominations, and there are some people that believe that it's only God's wrath that's in this book. But you know what? This incredible book will save you from the wrath of God. This incredible book will save you from the wages of sin. As we're going to see here tonight, God lays out some things that we are practicing and approving of in America today that we've legalized. When God says that these things will destroy you as a nation as well as individually, they will condemn you, they will damn you. And the Bible very clearly says those who continually, habitually practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God is warning us. God is warning the people to repent, to turn from the sins of this world and turn to him, because as we saw Sunday, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we saw Sunday, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us, but he also gave us a free will and a free won't. Either we will believe his word and follow him and repent of our sins, or if we won't, we know the wages of sin is death and separation eternally from God. And so here we see that the king tore his clothes. He commands the priest and the scribe and the servants to inquire the Lord for him, for great is the wrath of God, because our fathers have not obeyed this book. You see what happens. You see what happened with the leadership in Judah and in Israel, the northern and southern kingdoms. The leaders led Israel and Judah astray. The Bible tells us very clearly that they turned their back on God because of all the things that the kings had allowed. They were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says here that great is the wrath of God because the fathers have not obeyed this book, to do all that is written concerning us. Question number one. Do you see how important God's word is in God's house? It takes number one priority in this fellowship of believers. God's word, we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept, through the whole book. We get to the maps in the back, we start all over again. These are the words of eternal life. For years, our marriage was trash. You've heard our testimony. For years, I struggled. Alcohol, drugs, the whole thing. On the verge of suicide. And many times we went to church. I'm not going to tell you where the churches were or what denominations they were. But nobody opened the Bible. Nobody had a Bible in their hands. And what blew me away when I was really to the point, just beside myself, my wife had gotten saved at Calvary Chapel, West Covina, 2 years prior. And so one Thanksgiving weekend, we had 4 days to party up in Anza. We had a ranch up there and all, oh, let's go party. And the first night we got there, I said to Tina, this blew her away. I said, I want to go home and go to church. And after she picked herself up off the floor, we left everything. The drugs, the alcohol, the people, the whole thing, went back to Calvary Chapel, West Covina. And it blew me away when I walked up to the front door. I saw people of all colors, all ages, all hairstyle, you know, all colors. You name it, you saw it. And they were all smiling and they were all hugging one another. And they all had this book in their hands. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. I thought, I'm in the right place. And that's what transformed the lives of the people inside those doors. And this is what transforms the lives of people today. We need to hear God's word like never before. There's a famine in the land, and I'm not talking physical food. I'm talking spiritual food. There's a famine in the land. And a lot of the programs I used to listen to on Christian radio, they've drifted. And a lot of them saying, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. You tell me tonight, do you think we need the Old Testament? Oy vey. We do. Every book is given by the inspiration of God, all 66 of them. Today, churches have all 66 books at their fingertips. Here we sit tonight. All of us have all 66 books at our fingertips. How many churches today are in line with what God's Word says? We talked about that 2 weeks ago when Jesus entered the temple with a whip of cords and he cleaned house. Many, many, many times I'm asking myself, what would Jesus do if he walked into this place, into this sanctuary? I know what he would do upstairs. Sad. They don't follow God's word. They call themselves reformed. Sad. But you know what I do when I go into the office to get the mail? I thank them for the Messiah coming through Israel. And I thank them because we have all 66 books because God has preserved his word through the Jew. Amazing. Pray for them. How many Christian lives today are in line with what God's word says? You know, as I mentioned Sunday, it's not all about feeling good about yourself. I feel good about myself when I know I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, and I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heaven. Like I tell people all the time, you think it's hot here? This is the hottest it's going to get for us because of Jesus Christ. Look what happens when Josiah hears God's word. He tears his clothes in repentance and in despair. And as we will see, he will immediately go to work rebuilding and reforming the course of the whole nation. You see how one leader can impact a nation. But as I've mentioned many times before, revival in America begins at my house, not the White House. Revival in America has got to take place at your house, and we need the clean house. And God tells us what needs to go. God tells us how to clean house. Today we have many churches, people with many Bibles. We had them before we got saved. We had a big honking coffee table Bible when we got saved. We'd move them out of the way when we'd party. How sad, huh? How tragic. Never opened it. Just our good luck charm, I guess, you know. How many are impacted? How many are truly affected by the truths found in God's word today? So important. It is the word of God that should cause us, like Josiah, to take action. It's the word of God that should cause us to repent, to reform, to restore our lives and God's church. This is God's church. Belongs to him. Verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, all these Smiths and Joneses here, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of this book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. And you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. And so they brought back word to the king. Wow. And so the high priest and the officials we see here went to a prophetess by the name of Huldah to confirm Josiah's fear that God was going to judge Judah. Huldah was a prophetess, as were Miriam and Deborah in the Old Testament. There were Old Testament prophetesses. According to Jeremiah 32, Huldah was Jeremiah's aunt. Huldah was obviously highly regarded by the people in her time. She confirms Josiah's fears that God is going to punish the people because of their evil corruption. That had to cause his heart to sink. That had to grip him with fear until he heard the second part of the prophecy, that it would not happen in Josiah's time. And we'll see that as we continue on tonight. Because verse 19, his heart was tender, and he had humbled himself in the sight of the Lord, and he was repentant. What a difference, huh, between most of the kings that we've seen thus far. He humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. They were doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and they could care less. He was repentant. And again, look at verses 19 and 20. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes will not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. Wow. God says what he means and means what he says, doesn't he? When Uzziah had read God's word, when he realized how corrupt the nation was, he looked at God's word and it revealed to him how corrupt the nation was. You really want to know how corrupt something is, or how evil something is, or how sinful something is? Read this. The light will expose the darkness. What did he do? He tore his clothes and he wept before the Lord. God saw this. God sees a broken and a contrite spirit. He saw this in Josiah. And God heard his cry. And God had mercy on him. And again, have you ever come before the Lord with a broken and a contrite spirit about this nation? With repentance, begging God to intercede on our behalf. God hears our prayers. We need to pray for those in office. When's the last time you prayed for President Biden or the Vice President Harris? I hear a lot of Christians just slamming these people. But the Bible says we need to love our enemies and pray for those evil people that are around us. It's so, so important that we intercede on their behalf in prayer. And Jesus actually said, call no man a fool. Raka. We have to be very, very careful. And sometimes we can join right in with other people and do what God has told us not to do. We need to intercede on their behalf with prayer. He tore his clothes. He wept before God. I find this interesting. Today, people buy their clothes torn already. Their jeans and everything else, you know what I mean? That's not repentance. That just happens to be fashion, I guess. Look how times have changed. When we were kids, we would never go to school with holes in our clothes. But God had mercy on him. God heard his prayer. God saw him tear his clothes. Today, we need more weeping and praying and fasting, as well as making restitution. It demonstrates our repentance before the Lord. But it just doesn't seem right now at this particular time that things are happening. As I mentioned many times before, read the Jerusalem Post, read the Arutz Sheva, read what's going on in the Middle East. That's the timetable. Day before yesterday, someone fired 350 rockets into Israel, 100 the day before. It's heating up. Israel is on the verge of doing something with Iran. I'm not a prophet. But guess who visited Iran 2 weeks ago? From the Soviet Union. Interesting how it's all falling into place. It's no time to be playing church. It's a time for weeping and praying and fasting and interceding on behalf of our nation. You know what? True repentance leads to change. And nothing is going to happen in our nation until we repent of our sins. I often think of Jonah. One of the shortest sermons in all of Scripture. Repent in 40 days, you know. Judgment's coming. Turns around and walks out. He wanted God to smoke him. And guess what? They repented and fasted, got in sackcloth and ashes. Even the animals had sackcloth on them. Could God do that today? He very well could. But you see what's going on with them on the verge of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem and all that's going on in the Middle East and all. Folks, we're getting close, I believe, to the return of Jesus Christ. Be ready. That's the all important thing. Why? Because no one promises us tomorrow. You could take your last breath today. We all have an appointment with God. You're going to be right on time. You can change your dentist appointment, your hair appointment, whatever, but you can't change your appointment with God. You're going to be right on time. As the word of the Lord was brought back to the king, he immediately takes action. Oh, how we need leaders that take action upon the word of God. He immediately does something about it. We don't see much of that today, do we? You know, simply talking about obedience is not enough. We need to do something about it. We can talk about it. We can talk about what Scripture says and what we need to do. But you know what? We need to practice these things and not just talk about them. So watch what happens. Let's look at the first three verses of chapter 23. Now the king sent to them, all the leaders, to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And look what he does. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Isn't that incredible? Well, he was a doer of what God's word said. What does he do first thing right off the bat? He gathers everybody together, gathers together all. The elders, the men of Judah, the inhabitants, the priests, the prophets, all the people, both great and small. What does he do? He reads from the book. Wow. What must that have been like? Like I said in Nehemiah, when Ezra the priest read the book, they all just wept before the Lord. Here he reads from the book, all of the words from the book that had been found in the house of the Lord. That's why we need to read all of the words in this incredible book called the Bible, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. We need it all. And isn't it amazing how timely it is? We're going through the Old Testament Wednesday night, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, and it's amazing the things that we've seen. You would think you were reading the newspaper today. Uzziah then makes a covenant before the Lord. Here's the king, the big guy, the highest office in Judah, making a covenant before the Lord. And what's his covenant? Number one, to keep his commandments, to keep his testimonies, to keep his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul. Wow. What a guy Uzziah is. Biggest leader in all the land. He makes a covenant before the Lord to keep his commandments, keep his testimonies, keep his statutes with all of his heart, all of his soul, and to perform, to carry out all of the words of the covenant that were in the book. We need to be doers of God's word and not just hearers of God's word. We can have knowledge of God's word, but it's got to travel 18 inches to our hearts. It's got to take root within our hearts. And as we saw Sunday, we need the person of the Holy Spirit. We need to be sealed for the day of redemption by the person of the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us in all truth and convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We need to be doers of God's word. All of the people took a stand as well. All the people, everybody there, made a covenant with the Lord. And when Uzziah realized the terrible state of Judah's relationship with God and his word, he did something about it. And we can do something about it. We can pray. We can intercede. We can fast. God has given us the ability to go boldly and directly to the throne room of grace in time of need. He's listening. His ear is attentive to the prayers of his people. And unfortunately, and there's been times I've done it, I mocked these people instead of praying for them. Forgive me, Lord. And oftentimes I can chime in. You know, it almost seems like every time you get together with a group, what comes out? Joe Biden. Every time I get to he comes up. Every time. What's going on in America? And of course, Donald Trump and all this other stuff. I'm looking for the Trump, but not the Donald. I'm looking for the trump of God that's going to sound when the rapture of the church takes place. And I think it's so important to be very, very careful with those that you put down. God does not want us to put people down. He wants us to lift them up before his throne room of grace to pray and to intercede on their behalf. I don't know who it was. We all don't know who it was that prayed on our behalf before we got saved. I don't know who prayed for me, but somebody's prayers were heard. And the most important one was mine when I prayed and repented before God. Have mercy upon me. Lord, help. That was part of my prayer. Help. Because I needed help. And all the people took a stand, made a covenant along with the king. It's not enough to know what's right. We need to take action. What does James tell us? Faith without works is dead. James 2:20, James 2:18, I will show you my faith by my works. Faith is an action word, and it's so important for us that there are works that follow our faith. We're doers of God's word and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. And so without hesitation, because of his love for God and his love for God's word, he goes right to work. Cleaning house, the Lord's house. Why? Because he'd already cleaned house on Josiah. And once we clean house here, then it's time to clean house elsewhere. Start with your own house. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. We need to clean house. Stuff creeps in. It really does. Watch this. Interesting. verses 4 to 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the doorkeeper to bring out of the temple. Notice this stuff was in the temple of the Lord. All, how much is all? All the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven, and he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes to Beth-El. Whoa. As you know, Asherah was a sexual goddess of immorality. Would you say that she's being worshipped today? Look at the pornography in America. Look at the pornography on the television commercials today. You can be watching Andy Griffith, and all of a sudden a filthy, rotten commercial will come on. I sit there with the television changer. It embarrasses me. I can't even tell you the names of these commercials from the pulpit because I'm not going to defile God's pulpit. He tells us, get rid of this stuff. Burn it. Then he removed, verse 5, the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burn incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image. Again, I know what that wooden image is, but again, I'm not going to defile God's pulpit this evening because it's filthy. This wooden image that they had in the house of the Lord. How sad. And they brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord in the brook Kidron outside of Jerusalem and burned it, yes, at the brook Kidron, and ground it into ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. Guess who he's talking about here? Some of you have a column in the middle of your Bible that gives you the original language, the Hebrew. Okay, when it says perverted persons, sodomites. God cleans house on sodomites. LGBTQ, gay pride. I'm not bashing them. I pray for the salvation of their souls. They need to be saved from their sins because those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And when God says they will not inherit the kingdom of God, you can take it all the way to heaven. How sad. And look what we've done in America. We've legalized sodomy. The first state to legalize same-sex marriage. I just happened to be there planting a brand new church in Vermont. Check this out. The day they signed the bill for same-sex marriage in Vermont, we had an earthquake. How many times do I have earthquakes in Vermont? Unbelievable. God says what he means and means what he says. He also talked about ritual booths and the women weaving hangings for the wooden image. Prostitution. You know that prostitution is legal in Nevada. There are billboards and everything telling you where to go. Prostitution. How sad. The Bible very clearly says that fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Adulterers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God makes it very, very clear. God is the one who designed sex between a husband and a wife. It is a gift for a husband and a wife in holy matrimony. But look what we've done to it. We've perverted it. I'll move on. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates where the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire of Molech. As you know, and I've mentioned before, Molech was where they took their children to sacrifice them. The god of Molech today has many names. One of them is Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood does not make you a parent. I'm just going to be straight up. Abortion is sin. Abortion is murder. And those who murder shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very simply. God can forgive those that have had abortions. I know many women and many men whose girlfriends or whatever have had abortions, and God will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But today, look what we've done. Again, Molech, sacrificing children. I'll take it a step further. We are sacrificing our children, but by the perverted things that we are teaching them in public schools. Sad. I wonder what Jesus would do with the whippercords in the public school system today. It's coming. It is coming. Way back when I was in school, and it wasn't that long ago, believe me, I had a teacher that used to lead us in songs about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We used to sing and we used to pray in public school. We had rules that we obeyed. But now look what they're doing in our schools today. Matter of fact, Ryan Googled the calendar for the Palm Springs Unified School District for next year. They have removed Resurrection Day, Easter. And they have removed Christmas, and they celebrate a week of whatever. I don't know what they even call it now. You see what they're doing in our country today? What are the two most important holidays on this planet? The birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't call it Easter. That's a pagan god, Ashtar. I call it Resurrection Day, and that's the second most important day in the history of this world because Jesus Christ rose from the grave and ascended to heaven. He's coming back again very, very soon. Heavy stuff. Then he removed, verse 11, the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, he was a king, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars, again, which Manasseh, another king, had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. The king, Josiah, broke down and pulverized them. Don't you love it? And threw their dust in the brook Kidron. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the sex goddess, the abomination of the Sidonians, for the Chemosh, for abomination of the Moabites and for the Milcom, and the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Look at this guy. Go, Josiah, man. This guy kept his promise, right? Keep God's commandments, his testimonies, his statutes with all of his heart, all of his soul. And he was going to carry it all out. And guess what he's doing? He's carrying out his promise to God. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high places which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, both that altar and the high places, he broke down and he burned the high places and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. And Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What gravestone is this that I see?" And so the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no one move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made. How sad. To provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Wow. Did exactly what he said he was going to do in obedience to God, didn't he? Man. This is Josiah. And you know what he's remembered for in Scripture? Jewish history? For being Israel's most obedient king. Judah's most obedient king. What a testimony he had. Do you know all of us are developing a testimony? Whether you like it or not, people attach your name to certain things. Don't you rejoice that our name isn't attached to what it used to be attached to? Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us. Josiah's name speaks of obedience as king of Israel. He obeyed God, he obeyed God's word in this way. And I've got three or four things that I've laid out here as a reminder of why he was Judah's most obedient king. Number one, with the book of the Lord, he recognized sin. How do we know what is sinful in the eyes of the Lord and what provokes the Lord to anger? Right here. You know the amazing thing, and I've mentioned this as well. The last verse in Romans chapter 1 tells us that you may not practice these things that is laid out in chapter 1, but those who approve of such things are just as guilty as those who practice them. Whoa, that's some heavy stuff. He recognized sin. Secondly, he eliminated sinful practices. He didn't just talk about it. He did something about it. He eliminated it. Thirdly, he attacked the causes of sin. And that's so important as well, isn't it? Remove anything that would cause us to be tempted. This approach for dealing with sin always works. Not only are we to remove sinful actions from our lives, but we're also to remove those things that would cause us to sin. You don't just put something away that you want to be set free from. I've mentioned before, I was a full-blown alcoholic. And when I got saved, I didn't give my booze away to all my buds. Every drop went down the sink. Yeah, you got to get it out. You don't need a first aid kit when you give your life to Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We need to remove those things that would cause us to sin, eliminate them completely. Also, we need to get away from those relationships that would cause us to sin. And those habits and those patterns of life that lead us to the door of temptation. Do you pray that prayer? Jesus tells us in the model prayer that we're to pray every day, lead me not into temptation. Do you pray that prayer? I do every day before I hit the floor. Why? Because the enemy is just waiting with his tackle box with all these lures. He keeps changing lures and throwing them out there, man, trying to hook us. I think it's important that we pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one, Lord. These examples are given to us to follow. And again, when we read God's word, when we read accounts like this, these are life lessons for all of us, not only personally, but as a nation. We need to trust in God and obey God's word. We need to obey this book. And if you really want to be blessed in your life, the best way to be blessed is to obey God's word. It's a win-win situation. But if you're going to go out there and you're going to, you know, get as close as you can to the world out there, be careful. You're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. We are to be as close to Jesus as we possibly can be, not as close to the world as we can possibly be. Greg Laurie calls them mugwumps. People that have their mug in the church and their wump in the world. Get away from that stuff. It will destroy you, and it will destroy your testimony. These examples are given to us that we are to obey this incredible book. Don't you just love God's word? I love it. This is my favorite earthly possession right here. In keeping God's word, Josiah now commands the people to keep the Passover. God commanded his people to keep the Passover. It was to be a yearly celebration. That's what we celebrate. Resurrection Day, the Passover. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. The cross is a symbol of the lamb being slain in the book of Exodus and the blood being put on the doorpost and on the lintel. It's a sign of the cross. We celebrate it, yes, we do, yearly, but you know what? As believers, we can celebrate it every day. I celebrate Resurrection Day every day. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved me. Verse 21 to 25. Notice what he says. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover of the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Hello? Such a Passover surely had never been held. This is sad. Since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. How sad. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, the Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. He brought it back. It was in celebration of God's people being delivered from the bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And notice, he reinstitutes the Passover in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, and the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. How many times have we seen that tonight? The book of God in the house of the Lord. The book in the house of the Lord. The book in the house of the Lord. So you tell me, is the book important in the house of the Lord? Phew. Incredible. Now before him, there was no kings like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. What a testimony. Really. I often wonder if your name was in this book somewhere, what would follow it? Hearing God's word, both Josiah and Hezekiah are praised for their reverence, for their faith, and for their obedience to the book. Again, we're given examples on how to trust and how to obey God. This is not just some religious book. To some it is. Verses 26 and 27. Nevertheless, we read, notice. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger was aroused against Judah, because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will also remove Judah from my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. How sad. God did not change his plan when he said that he was going to punish Judah for what Manasseh and the rest of the kings had done. The people are going to be sent off into captivity. And that's what sin does. Sin takes us captive. Jerusalem will be destroyed. But it won't be in Josiah's day, because God also made a promise to him that he would not see the destruction. 28 to 30. Josiah's day had come. And you know what? For you and I, our day is going to come as well one day. Now, the rest of the acts of Uzziah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his day, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went to the aid of the king of Assyria, to the river Euphrates, and King Uzziah went against him. And Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo when he confronted him. Then his servants moved his body in a chariot from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, anointed him and made him king in his father's place. What a way to end his life on the battlefield. He laid down his life even for his nation then. His time had come. This didn't take God by surprise. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows when you and I are going to show up one day, and he knows exactly how we're going to get there. But our desire today should be to live our lives in obedience to God and to live our lives in obedience to his book and to finish well. That's what Paul said. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished well. Don't crash and burn just before the finish line. We're too close to home. How sad it is when a brother or sister in Christ crashes and burns just before the finish line. You know what that does? It leaves doubt in the family members. Were they really saved? So we've got to make sure that we finish well. Notice here, Josiah's day had come. His son Jehoahaz will take his place. And you know what? Here it comes again. Saddens my heart. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Check it out. 31. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Pharaoh Necho put him in prison in Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Joash, king in his place of his father Josiah, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Pharaoh took Jehoahaz and went to Egypt, and he died there. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give money according to the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land, from everyone according to his assessment, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. How sad. Look what Josiah did with God's money. He rebuilt the house of the Lord, restored the house of the Lord, so the people would come back to God and worship him in spirit and truth. And a covenant came out of it, not only from Josiah, but from the people. Now look at what happens when his sons, again, who don't follow in his footsteps, they continue to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Padiah of Rumah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Wow. Heavy stuff. So you see what happens. Those that followed. Like father, like son? No. Like father, like grandfather. And as I mentioned before, and I'll close with this, whether you're a father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather, we need to be a living testimony to our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids, whoever God allows to come into your life. They need to look at us, grandma and grandpa, as living examples of those who walk in obedience to God's word, those who love this book. And whenever you get a chance, take the time with these young ones to impart spiritual things in their lives. And you know what? One day they're going to thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony that we see of Josiah and how his life was transformed by the book of the Lord that was found in the house of the Lord. I pray for each and every one of us. Number one, that we would always love your word. We would always love you. We would always love one another. And that, Lord, your book would always be in this house. The day it's not, I'm out of here. We thank you for your precious word, how it sets the captives free, how it restores marriages, restores lives, breaks the chains of sin in the lives of people. We have a room full of miracles here tonight. To me, the greatest miracle that can happen in any person's life is salvation, to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, to go from being a citizen of this world to a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your precious, precious gift. And may we never take it for granted. And may we tonight, even in our own hearts, just renew that covenant with you, Lord, that we would always love you, we would always love your word, and that we would always love one another. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.